I'm a fucking moron.
It's showtime.
W-A-T-P!
W-A-T-P!
Hello, bag slappers and cousaroos. Welcome to another episode of Who Are These Podcasts? The only show, check that, the only people who have listened to Vic Henley's stand-up album. I'm your host, Carl. With me this week, the man who insults you in our subreddit and you don't even know it, it's Crouch!
Hey-o!
Welcome back to the show, Crouch.
How the heck are you?
Wonderful. Please go to whoarethese.com to get our email address, voicemail number, link to our subreddit, link to the Discord server, link to our merchandise, and of course, that link to our Patreon, where we do a bonus episode every single month. Crouge and I will be recording a bonus episode later today that will come out at some point in the future, breaking down Vic Henley's new stand-up album, Hell Is Real.
I spent
$9.99. I gave Vic Henley $8.
That's amazing.
Maybe $7. What's the percentage that Apple takes? Maybe 30%?
Something, yeah, around that.
Either way, I gave him way too much money for his stand-up album. I got to talk to my accountant. I think I can write that off.
Yeah.
I got a couple extra days to figure that out, which is nice. We encourage our listeners to give us a 5-star review in iTunes and then shit all over us in the comments section. If Vic doesn't pass out, she'll be on later to read some new reviews. But before we do any of that, we'll be reviewing a podcast called The Chrissy Mayer Podcast. This was a suggestion from Jackie Marlowe in the Discord. Crows and I have both listened to the show separately. We have not discussed it with each other beforehand. Let's get into it. This is a podcast that's about 8 episodes deep at this point.
Yeah.
It's hosted by our friend Chrissy Mayer, who's been on this show.
Mm.
Vinny and I got a chance to speak with her while she was watching Little League Baseball, which was a lot of fun.
What a delight.
And now she's doing a show that's like an interview style show.
Yeah.
She has a single guest on, and they do a show where they just have a conversation. There's no production at all.
Yeah.
There's no attempt at jokes.
There's no preparation.
There's zero prep involved.
Yeah.
We listened to one where they talked to Jackie Martling.
Yeah.
One of the famed writers from the Howard Stern show back in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to point out, I have a clip on here from the Jackie interview, because I listened to a couple other episodes, too, of Chrissy. Did you as well?
Yes.
All right. So we got a few things to talk about. But let's start off with Jackie. Let's get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Jackie Martling somehow has turned into Stuttering John. He starts talking about this bit he came up with called Sternack.
Mm-hmm.
And he loses his mind and his memory.
It was the question man. Like, Steve Allen did it, but Johnny Carson did it as Karnak, where he wore the thing and he'd say he'd say the answer and then read the question. And we called it Sternack. And now I'm gonna forget completely what I was talking about. Oh, mother.
Sternack.
All right, yeah. So Jackie loses his train of thought when he's talking about how he wrote this bit on the Howard Stern show.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately remembered, and then 7 minutes later, we finally get to the punchline of this, and that is that he wrote a joke that made Johnny Carson laugh.
Yeah. The answer was Eyes Wide Shut. That's another clue.
Right.
That was the movie that was out at the time. Eyes Wide Shut. And the question was, how would a black man tell you his name was Wide Shut? And he said Carson dropped the phone. He laughed so fucking hard. And he went nuts.
Just making
Carson laugh is fun, you know.
That's amazing. That's like a.
Am I listening to Stuttering John's podcast? He's talking about how he made Johnny Carson laugh in 1984?
He heard that he did that.
That's the culmination
of a long story that, well, my friend knew this guy who then called this guy who then talked to Johnny on the phone, and he said that Jackie Martling is the funniest guy ever who wrote this thing, and then he said this, and then they said that, and then the moral of the story is that I'm fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I got a little bit of that, and here's the thing, and I cannot explain this. I have, like, a warm spot in my heart for Jackie the Joke Man.
I don't know why.
You couldn't spend 2 seconds with a guy. If you were having a beer with this guy, you'd strangle him. He's, like, the most obnoxious person on earth. But hearing him tell these long, rambling stories and shit, I don't know why. So it opens up, like, all of her podcasts just start. Just she just hits record at some random part.
Correct.
And so this one, Jackie just starts off on this long story. Here's my number 7.
So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say.
No, he continues, number 8.
That was a lot more coherent than what Jackie was saying.
He continues.
On the avian, did I tell you my story about the avian?
No.
I told you that I had a song that wound up being nominated.
No.
Okay. I wrote this crazy song about I'm smoking pot, I got my dick out. I'm sure you've heard that song.
Sure you've heard this song.
And everybody loves it. It's just so stupid.
Everybody loves it. Well, I wrote this song about smoking pot with my dick out. You've heard it, obviously.
Everyone knows it.
It's like Sgt. Pepper's. Everybody, right. People talked about it. I wrote that song in like 75, dude. Everyone has heard it since then. Everyone. It's like this, you know, this long story. So here's number 9. Here's the actual Grandpa Simpson.
And there was a woman who was married to the guy that picked all the cartoons for Hustler.
Wow.
And all the photos for Hustler. For 25 years.
Wow.
And then he died. And her lifelong dream, Erica McLean is her name, her lifelong dream was to direct a porn movie.
Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was a style at the time. They didn't have white onions because of the war.
Every story is like that.
Yes.
Every story goes down this long path of, and then she was married to his cousin who knew this other guy who was Johnny Carson's pool boy.
And can I point out that that's just Jackie being Jackie?
Of course.
And we've heard this with Artie Lang and with all these different shows that he's been on.
Yeah, yeah.
But Chrissy Mayer is not picking up what he's putting down at any point. I don't know that she has any familiarity with the Stern Show.
Yeah.
If she does, she doesn't let on.
Yeah.
And here's an example where Jackie is talking about the fact that he knows every single joke. Every joke from the 50s, he just has them memorized.
I've been doing this for so long, and I've always just told jokes. I never had any intention of being a comic. I did a little bit of comedy in the beginning, but I was like, fuck this. But I've known all the jokes since the 50s. I mean, it's crazy.
How do you remember them all?
They're just in there. I mean, I got them all on the computer now and everything like that, but I really do know them.
So this is the thing about Jackie Martling that I always talk about. He even said right there, I'm not a comic. I just know every single joke. And you can recite. They used to do this thing called Stump the Joke Man on Howard Stern, where you'd tell him the setup and he would know the punchline. He knows every single joke.
Yeah.
Chrissy thinks that he writes jokes.
He does not.
So Chrissy says this.
It always drives me crazy when somebody says, that's a street show. Or that's an old joke.
It's probably actually one of your jokes.
No, well, because the point is, there's no such thing as an old joke.
So first off, two things on that clip. First off, Chrissy doesn't understand what Jackie does.
Yeah.
People think that there's old jokes. You probably wrote that joke. No, he's never written a joke.
Yeah.
He just recites jokes he's heard from other people.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jackie is an anachronism even of his time, you know what I mean?
Right.
He came out in the 70s and 80s, but he's like a 40s and 50s guy. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like a one-liner comic that's just 10,000 jokes that are all from joke books. It's not original material.
They're literally jokes that nobody knows who wrote them, so no one's pissed that he's telling them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the oldest jokes. And then he's got this whole thing he goes off on where there's no such thing as old jokes. There's just jokes that either you've heard them before or you haven't. It's like, no, Jackie, there are definitely things called old jokes.
Yeah.
There definitely are.
Yeah.
But Jackie wants to live in a world where if a 12-year-old has never heard my wife sits around the house, then he can tell the 12-year-old that joke and it's going to be hilarious. Like, no.
Yeah.
That's an old fucking joke. All right. What else you got on Jackie? Anything?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about living in the past. Here's number
let's do it.
15.
Okay.
If you want to get jokes in the mail, jokeland@AOL.com. People still yell at me for the AOL thing.
No,
you're on my list. You don't get them.
No, I get. They gotta check my spam.
You're a good example. I'll send it to you when I get home.
Oh boy.
All right, now, bro.
I'm listening.
It's cool that you had the same email address since 1995, but like this dude, this is part of a long conversation about he sends out his own personal email with jokes on it. which was great when there were 12 people on the internet. That's not how people interact with shit anymore. You know what I mean?
Correct.
He's going on about, oh, all my shit ends up in the spam folder. Yes, that's how email works. That's not where people go for humor. It hasn't been for 20 years. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do know what you're saying, because you used to get those emails that had been forwarded 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And you saw everyone's email address in every forward.
Oh, of course.
People don't even remember these days.
Yeah, of course.
But that's where you got memes from. There was not a Facebook. There was not a Twitter. The only way that you saw the memes everyone else saw, it's how everyone was first introduced to Maddox and your kid's art sucks, is because you got like some email forward. Jackie's still living in that world.
And he has Facebook and Twitter and he talks about it,
but yet
he's still...
He's not understanding it at all.
And then it's, you know, and then it turns into story time. Like, here's number 10. Have you ever heard of 8-track tapes, Carl?
And they bought like 30 8-track cartridges. I don't know if you've ever heard of those. Me and Nancy, she wasn't my wife yet. Handmade. We had a recorder and handmade.
Wow.
Like 38 8-track cartridges. They were these little ugly cartridges that predated cassettes.
Yes.
I mean,
okay, we get it.
You know.
But what year was this?
1979 or 1980. Maybe 81. My first album came out in 1979.
Not many people know I own the first radio in Springfield. Weren't much on the air then. Just Edison reciting the alphabet over and over. A, he'd say. Then B, C would usually follow.
Okay, so that was the last one, I promise.
Yeah, okay.
But you see what I'm saying? It's, oh my God. So she steers him into a bunch of Howard Stern talk. And
while he steers himself into Stern talk.
Yeah, okay.
That's what he wants to talk about, obviously.
Well, and that's the other thing. So I got through all these. I pulled all these clips, and I'm that one that I just played where she says, oh, what year was that?
Yeah.
That was, like, the most that she appears.
Yeah, she doesn't talk much in this episode.
No, she's just like, how you doing? And then Jackie goes for 20 minutes, and then she goes, what was that like?
Can I play this for you? Jackie has to take over.
Yeah.
At a certain point in the show, because Chrissy's just out of it.
Yeah.
She's just not even asking questions. The conversation dies. And Jackie decides, well, I guess I'll start asking you questions. And a good interviewer or a good podcaster would recognize that this is not about you.
Yeah.
And change the subject. Not Chrissy.
That was fun. That was fun.
Oh, that's really funny.
So tell me about you. You getting married?
No, not that I'm aware of. Not yet.
You went on vacation with your boyfriend?
We went on vacation,
That's kind of a big move.
We already live together, so I feel like that's already the big thing.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Let me just zoom in on the end of that little back and forth, and this goes on for a while.
Yeah.
But this is actual conversation unedited from a show. Chrissy Mayer is putting this out as a show that she does.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe.
Nice guy.
Yeah, very nice guy. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a hell of an endorsement.
Nothing is going on there. It's the lowest of low energy. Jackie's 82 years old. I get it why he has low energy.
Yeah.
But Chrissy, bring it up. At the end of the show, Chrissy starts not feeling well, and Jackie has to tell her to just end the fucking show.
Yeah.
I also feel like a little nauseous. Like, I got back from Mexico yesterday. I hope I don't have, like, coronavirus.
It could be that I'm just that boring.
No, you're great. I just feel, like, really hot all of a sudden.
So say goodbye and tell him we'll be back another time.
All right.
Wow. Jackie had to tell you to end your podcast.
Yeah.
And I watched the YouTube video of this. She's literally just fanning herself like this and going, oh my God, oh my God. And she's not going to edit it, obviously.
Yeah.
She had no plans of editing. So what is she doing? Wrap it up. We talked about Baba Booey.
Yeah.
We talked about when Robin didn't laugh at your joke. Let's wrap it up now. We got it.
Yep.
What else you got on this, buddy?
All right, yeah. So they get into some Stern talk.
Yeah.
And this is stuff that, like, if you're not into the Stern universe, this is going to be very boring to you. And if you're into the Stern universe, this is going to be very fucking boring to you. Here's number 12.
Just looking at his mouth and his teeth. And I turned, and Howard had caught me looking at Gary's mouth. And I just said, that will never cease to entertain me, and we proceeded to laugh like for 2 minutes. We just went crazy because it was just a welling of all the millions and millions of times, you know. Oh God.
The number of podcasts that I've listened to that are people describing how funny it is to look at this one guy's teeth. It's hours, dude. It's hours of my life that I spent now. And that's, I was a Stern fan 20 years, dude. I listened to that every day and they'd be like, oh, look at his teeth. And everyone would laugh. And now, all these years later, I'm listening to people who record that and put it on the internet.
You know why? Because they always got thunderous laughter every time they were on the Stern show and they made fun of his teeth because that was like the bit.
Yeah.
And now they think that that's funny material because like Pavlov's dog, they've been trained that I say Gary's teeth, people laugh.
It's got to be,
and
right?
And it's not fucking funny. And Chrissy Mayer's reaction under all of these things, you can tell she has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that
wow, Gary's teeth, huh?
And that reminds Jackie of another story. Here's number 13.
Always broke Gary's balls about being a monkey. Do you know the movie Mighty Joe Young?
Yes.
So Mighty Joe Young, the girl used to calm him down by playing Beautiful Dreamer on the piano. And we used to fuck with Gary so bad. And
Mighty Joe Young is from 1949. I'm not joking.
Did they do a remake of it, though?
But in the late 90s.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is like in the 1980s. This was a 30-year-old movie. Now that he's telling Chrissy Mayer about
it,
it's a 70-year-old movie.
She's reference.
Like, oh, yeah, I know that movie. He's like, yeah, with the giant monkey, and she plays a song on the piano. And that is the full context of that story. It doesn't come up again. He doesn't say that they play that song under him. There's no reason for that. It's just, it's like when you're talking to your grandpa.
Yes.
And he's like, well, back when King Kong was in the theaters and this, that, and the other thing. And then, like, so there's this one brief moment of clarity, number 16.
Robin's the news girl. I don't know. I always talk like, I assume people have any idea what we're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, yeah, they should. They should have an idea. Yeah.
Now, that's 30, 35 minutes into talking about the Stern Show.
But it's because she was giving him nothing. He was talking about, yeah, then Gary said this, and then Robin was doing that, and she never once commented like she knew what the fuck he was talking about. So finally, he's like, do you even know any of the people that I'm talking about? She goes, I think people will know. They listen to Opie and Anthony, so they'll know.
And then, so here's the big story about Robin. Here's 17.
She sandbagged and didn't laugh at any of them. So
it
didn't laugh anybody.
Wow.
And then we went to commercial. And I was really pissed. I went to commercial and, she, you know, but everybody's doing everything in fun. And she comes bursting. She was in her own little room. She comes bursting through the door and goes, I said, get out of here, you fucking cunt. And she wouldn't laugh at all.
Oh, boy. Chrissy, I hope you're listening to this right now. This is bad. This is embarrassing. You need to work on your interviewing skills.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And I know that story sounds like weird and out of context, but that's like...
That was the story.
That was the story. That was the meat of the story. It was this long fucking story. That guy was on the air 5 days a week for like 18 years or something, right? It was something crazy like that. And this is a story. Like one day she didn't laugh at a thing. And then she came in and she did laugh. So I called her a cunt. Oh, yeah, great story. All right. So glad I showed up today. Now, this I find funny, and I don't know why.
Okay.
But Jackie has a new girlfriend, and in number 19, he talks about they took a selfie right away when they met.
So I took out my camera and took a selfie, and then spent the next month trying to talk her into going out with me. And it was, going to lunch, but it was, and it just... It it's a whole storybook thing. It's pretty nice. And I still have the picture that I took 30 seconds after I met her, which is just so fun, you know. And I put it on a mug for, you know.
He put it on a mug!
Oh, God.
He put it on a mug!
Oh,
dude,
Jesus.
The fucking King of Tchotchkes made a mug of the
selfie.
Yeah,
go figure.
He got a mug. And you know he walked around with that. You know he gave it to her and her family. And you know they're like, why the fuck did they give me a mug of a selfie taken at a bar?
Also, when they first met, they made small talk. He recorded that, put it on an 8-track tape. She can listen to their very first conversation while driving around in a 78 Camaro.
And then number 20 is like, what is it like to be Jackie the Joke Man's girlfriend?
She, of course, was not a fan of dirty jokes, and now she knows
all of them.
knows him better than me. You know? Like, if one word comes up in the course of the day that's in one of the jokes, you know, she'll say the punchline to the, you know.
So, you know those people, and we all have worked with them. They make a joke, and you're like, ha-ha. And then they make that same joke every day for the next 50 years of their life. And
yeah.
That's just like what...
They got the reaction they wanted. It's what children do.
That's...
It's what children do when they say a swear for the first time.
Yeah, but that's Jackie the Joke Man. Like,
yes.
He's just a pile of these old sayings.
Yes.
And then now that she's hanging out with him, she just has all these old sayings.
All right. They did say something in that episode that I pulled out because I think they proved it through their conversation.
Comics aren't funny people.
I noticed that. I fucking noticed that because I listened to three whole episodes of Chrissy Mayer and learned that comics are not funny people.
Yeah. Can I take you through one of those episodes? Did you happen to listen to Alex Jett?
I did. And I have a bunch of clips on this too, but I'll let you get it started.
Okay. This is the first 30 seconds of the show. Here's number three.
It is crazy.
And don't adjust your side.
Like, really learning it.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, for, like, shooting content with other performers, I don't even use my main camera anymore. I just use my iPhone 11 on a gimbal.
Oh, someone's got an iPhone 11.
Yeah, I know, right?
Somebody's fancy.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's making bang.
It's already paid for itself in the shoots I've done with it, because, like, goddamn, that thing is amazing.
That's the first 30 seconds.
Correct. And
the introduction.
The YouTube videos, it's because she's setting up her phone to record these shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
She takes nothing out.
Yeah. It's a bunch of fucked up audio, and you hear the mic bombing out, and everybody's levels are all fucked up.
Yeah.
And they're talking about what kind of phone they have. Like, and this is the introduction. I mean, this is the opening track. This is like, you want to come out strong, get people interested. Here's a bunch of noise and people.
I'll throw this out there. Chrissy, I know you're trying to make it in comedy and I'm rooting for you, but know that most people don't know who the fuck you are. And if they stumble upon your show, don't assume that they just can't wait to hear your first zinger 14 minutes in. Go ahead and start off by having an entertaining quality show right from the get-go.
That would help.
Just try that.
And you know what? You got to close strong, too. I know it's a little different in the podcast era, but...
I love the way she has these shows.
It's so terrible. You do want to have, like, hey, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you later. Whatever. This is going to sound like I hacked this up, but this is the last 5 seconds unedited of the show. Here's number four.
Let's see how long this was.
Oh, it's going to be long. I have a feeling.
We crushed it. Oh, 38 minutes. That's good.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah. That is literally how it ends. You did not clip that.
Yeah.
I believe that Drew Lane would call that a burp. That was not clipped. That's how her show ends.
Yeah.
With her hitting stop mid-word on the thing. And I want to point out that...
After checking the timer. Well, Carl, I guess we did enough podcasting and we can go home.
She's obsessed with how much time she's done.
Yeah.
She checks in on it multiple times. This is the very end of the episode with Gino Bisconti, which is her first episode. And here's how this one ends.
Thanks, Gino. This was fun. How much time did we do? I think we did about, 28 minutes. It's perfect. All
there
right.
You go.
All right. Signing off. First podcast ever in the hole. Bye. I want to listen to that.
So,
oh, my God.
This is an Opie-esque obsession with doing time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because she's a stand-up or what it is, but she keeps looking in. She's like, all right, how much time have we done? Okay, 24 minutes. Okay, let's do 15 more minutes.
Yeah.
She's like waiting for the light to turn on in the back of the room. Listen, dummy, it's a podcast. It doesn't have to be any length of time. Just make the time that you're doing it entertaining for the audience.
Yes, have a reason to exist.
Right.
That would be helpful.
You're creating a podcast. You didn't fall into a podcast. You must have an idea of what you're trying to accomplish. I can't figure it out. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish, except for filling time.
So let's talk about, sorry to jump around here. Here's the very beginning. She interviews a comic called Barry Ribs. And here's number one.
Long Island, baby. This is a very low-key, casual pod. It's just me and Barry Ribs.
Oh, we started?
No. I mean, we're starting now. I'm just getting the shot right. Wow, I look very shiny.
Everybody's mouth is full. No one knows that they're recording.
She literally tells her guests they haven't started yet.
Yeah.
Which is so rude to do.
And then leaves it in.
Yes.
And then number two, they keep going with this.
Chrissy, it's not cute. What the fuck are you doing?
Brilliant. Did we start yet?
We did start.
We did.
But wow, I can cut, you know, I can cut, you know, a lot of this out.
You can?
But I like that you're keeping it casual. You're eating your bagel. So Barry came here. He got a free bagel from another department. I was like, can we have bagels? It's like 3 p.m.
Yo, it's been so cool.
And that's the opening story. The opening story is, well, our mouths are all full, and you got a bagel. So...
Can I point something out? And I hate to break your flow like this, because it seems like you've got something to say. I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah.
But you notice how she said he got a free bagel from another department? I don't know where Chrissy works, but she records her show wherever she works. Because at one point during the Gino Bisconti interview, they get interrupted, and it couldn't be more awkward and ridiculous.
Well, that should be a hate crime at this point.
It's like you're telling people... it's like you're telling people, yeah, she's my coworker. I should have given her the heads up.
But I'm telling you, stop someone from laughing in this day and age.
So they're in some back room somewhere. Does she work at a department store? Does she work at a bakery? I don't know where she works, but she's just at work doing her podcast. And someone comes to the break room and they're like, oh, you're doing something in here? Okay, sorry. I guess I'll leave.
Now, I was talking about you should have a reason to exist.
Yeah.
Not everyone has the crystal clear mission of laughing at jerks that WATP brings to the table.
We fucking nailed it with our mission.
So number 5, she sets up her reason for being.
So my thing is I'm trying not to ask everybody the questions like that they're sick of answering.
Oh,
I picked up on this too. Let me just introduce who she's talking to because we haven't said that yet. This Alex Jett guy is a porn actor. Chrissy went out to Vegas a month or two ago. I believe she was part of the AVNs. I don't know if she's hosting them or if she's just presenting an award. I don't know what she's doing. But she's part of the AVN, so she got a chance. Because you pointed out to me, Croj, that you've never heard of any of the people that she's interviewed, except for Jackie Martling. You've never heard of any of these people that she's interviewing on the show. Right. So I think a bunch of them are probably porn actors and porn actresses. And that's who this guy is. So she says, I'm going to ask you the questions that you don't often get asked.
Yeah.
Because you get interviewed so often being a porn star.
So, 45 seconds. That's all I'm asking you for, Carl.
Let's do it.
What are the questions that you've never been asked? Here's number 6.
How long have you had that earring for?
How long have you been doing porn for?
How did you get into it? What's it like when you have to do a scene with somebody you dislike or you know, oh, I don't have chemistry with that person? Or what are the things that make your dick soft? What's your biggest fear? Do you have any like porn enemies?
Exactly.
Whose genitals taste the best? So like sometimes you put a finger in and then what if you're like, oh, it's bad in there? Did I ask you, have you ever shot a scene while drunk or high? Have you ever been drugged? Are you from LA?
From San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yep.
Big Rice-A-Roni fan or?
Rice-A-Roni.
It's like a San Francisco treat.
Those are the worst fucking questions.
So I have this also because you couldn't help but notice she sets herself up like she's going to be different. She's going to ask the questions nobody else would ask. She's got a list of questions written down on a piece of paper. You hear her shuffling through her papers at one point. And then her second question is, how long have you been doing porn for?
Yeah.
Her third question, after the earring question, which was compelling.
Yeah.
And then her third question was, how did you get into porn?
Yeah.
Could there be more generic questions to ask a porn actor than those two questions?
Oh.
And it would have been fine if she hadn't started off by saying, I asked the questions you've never been asked before. How did you get into porn? You fucking idiot.
Oh.
And I have to play because you kind of stole my thunder a little bit.
Sorry.
By playing the Rice-A-Roni fucking joke. I mean, I have to hit this again and just isolate it.
Yeah.
It's... Because Chrissy Mayer is a comedian.
Are you from L.A.?
From San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yep.
Big Rice-A-Roni fan or?
Rice-A-Roni?
What's the San Francisco treat?
There have been no laughs!
What do you mean?
None!
Why is she connecting that in her head and saying it out loud? And then she also makes this super hack joke about putting fingers in assholes.
Fingers go in the asshole. You know what I mean? Like if you're a fucking doggy, a finger's gonna, or a thumb's gonna go in there. And so, you know.
Just automatically?
Generally, you watch scenes, guys will just shove it in. Like, they don't preempt or anything like that. Yeah, yeah, it's like a thing. If you watch
That explains so many of my hookups.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But like, so...
I'm like, man, this guy must really like bowling. I don't know, maybe he's just trying to...
Yeah, exactly.
So a guy shoved a finger in her ass, and she thought, this guy must really like bowling. Did you get that joke, Grouge?
It's exhausting.
All right, let's talk about the no list. Every porn actor and actress has a no list of people they refuse to perform with. And Chrissy takes this information and turns it into liquid comedy gold.
I just learned there was a thing that's called a no list.
Yeah, it's super important.
Wow.
Because, you don't want to have to fuck someone who you really don't want to fuck.
Yeah, like, or if there's some kind of wacky history or like some sort of altercation or like, I don't know.
Absolutely.
They burned your dinner once or,
That's way more than to get someone no-listed. I think you should call the cops.
They were supposed to come over and water your plants while you were away.
Yeah, right?
And
exactly.
They
didn't. Man, that's
and
it.
You let the dog out.
Damn.
Yeah.
Those fuckers.
That's interesting.
At least Chrissy's laughing because nobody else is. Her jokes were, so how does someone get on your no list? Do they burn your dinner?
Jesus.
Did they not water your house plants? Yeah. Did they wet the dog out? I mean, listen, I understand we're just riffing here, Chrissy, but you do have control to take this shit out in post. I have said the dumbest things ever on this show. I take them out in post. Everyone in the Discord knows, but I take them out in post. So I don't look like a complete asshole. This is a perfect example of something you might want to clean up because she announces the fact that this conversation is going so well and she's doing such a great interview and then immediately falls on her face.
This might be the best interview so far.
Definitely. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
The funniest. So that's fine. Did I ask you...
Epic fail.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
She's got questions like, what's your biggest fear?
What's your biggest fear?
What's your favorite color?
Who's your favorite Smurf?
Yeah.
Who gives a flying fuck?
It's like, what the fuck?
All right. So at the very end of the show, she's so proud of herself for doing such a great interview with this porn star.
Yeah.
And then she pulls out her piece of paper and explains that she did have a list of questions.
Yeah. This is good. I mean, this was my list of like random questions.
Oh, okay.
In case there was a lull, but we haven't had any lulls.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing that I want to agree with her on this.
We haven't had any lulls.
There have been no lulls in this show. That is 100% accurate. It's ridiculous. You just heard I played an example of her not knowing what to ask him after saying what a great conversation they were having.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes later, she goes, all right, I mean, I had all these questions here, but I didn't even need them because I'm so good at interviewing you and such a natural conversation that we just had.
Yeah. Well, and with brilliant questions like, so how did you get into porn? I mean, yeah, it's just killing time.
It's killing time.
There's no reason for this to exist. It's not compelling interviews. She's not a super compelling personality or super great off-the-cuff improv type.
And can we point out there have been 8 episodes so far?
Yeah.
And there's 3 digits. 001.
High hopes.
002. That's some high hopes right there. Yeah. It's like, well, we're at least going to make 900 out of these episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we better get started with 00.
Welcome to the start of the first decade of the Chrissy
Meyer podcast. Yeah. I mean, maybe she'll get better. You never know. But it's surprising to me that she's decided to put on a show. She works for Compound. She has a show on Anthony Cumia's network called, what's it called? The Wet Spot. Chrissy Meyer is the Wet Spot.
There you go.
Oh, God. I'm getting all confused now. And she does a show with zero production. Zero production. There isn't a single thing done in post.
Yeah.
There's no pre. There's no post or no pre. There's no during.
Yeah.
There's no production.
It's Opie style. It's someone rolling around with their phone hoping to capture lightning.
At least fucking Opie will play this. All right, that's not very good. Don't do that, Chrissy. Gino Bisconti is the first episode. And Gino is a comedian who I enjoy. I'm a fan of his. And it's difficult to do Chrissy's first episode.
Yeah.
But he hangs in there like a trooper. At one point, he rips on Chrissy, and I don't think she even realized that he was ripping on her, so I thought this was really funny. They're talking about pregnant women working and how late into their term they're still working.
Yeah.
Now, like, women are so scared to, like, lose their jobs or, like, lose out on money. They will work until literally there's an arm sticking out of them, and they'll be like, I have to.
Why do you waste this money on me? Where does this go when we put you on stage? Where does
it go? I don't know.
So they do these shows called Comedians from the Compound, because Gino also hosts a show in Hot Water on Compound Media on Anthony's network. And they do these shows where all the comedians go and they do a live show. And he says, hey, that was almost a funny thought. Why don't you do that on stage when we're all doing comedy shows together?
I don't know. It's a good idea. I should put that in my act.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. The conversation between Chrissy and Gino is super dry and dull and uninteresting. But it's weird that they talk about how they're evolving as artists a lot. This is Chrissy explaining her evolution. Because I should point this out. The way that she got her way into Compound and now has her own show is by showing up on Gino's show playing characters.
Okay.
I still have people who will message and tweet at me like, hey, Chrissy, you should really just keep doing those characters or maybe just do characters on your new show. And it's like, it's so hard to like, You want to appease the fans,
right.
And you want to make people happy, but at the same time,
you want to keep evolving what you're doing.
Yeah, you want to like.
You would think you were listening to Kristen Wiig have a conversation. Like, I know I'm famous for my characters. I did 8 years on SNL, but I'm trying to do my own thing. I'm my own person.
She's tormented, like, you know.
She's tormented by all of her fans who keep telling her what they want her to do.
Yeah.
I can't be what you want me to be, man. Yeah. I can just be my truth.
Not Larry the Cable Woman.
All right, so this is them explaining that comedy is art. And this is where it's so blowhardy.
And I even say in the act, it's like, if people get offended by this, they don't see comedy as art. And comedy is fucking art.
It is fucking art.
It is.
Says the two comedians. We're artists, right? Of course we're fucking artists, right? Of course we are. So let's talk about this art that they have.
Yeah.
This is... Gino is making a reference to one of his jokes that people got offended by. And I am very much on the side of comedians. You should not go to a comedy show and be offended. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
He tells this joke, and I don't think Chrissy gets it. I literally don't think she gets it. Maybe I'm wrong and she's just playing along with it, but listen to this.
But getting back to it, it's like, and I say this, you write a book about the Holocaust, and it's art, and everyone should read it. You should. It's the lowest point in human history.
Diary?
I have a couple of those. Pages are stuck together.
Why are they stuck together?
He says, I have the Diary of Anne Frank, and the pages are stuck together. And that's like an Opie response. Chrissy goes, why are they stuck together? Why would the pages be stuck together? Now, Groves, you might think I'm taking this out of context. I'm making Chrissy look dumb when really she was just setting up her joke.
Yeah.
You would be wrong. I'm going to play the rest of that where you're going to hear her react to learning what really happens here. First, she's siding with Gino, thinking that he's a hero, and then realizes that it's a dumb joke.
Why
are they stuck together?
Because I cry when I'm done jerking off. You have to see the whole thing.
All right, so you picked up on that very quickly. There was a lot happening in a short amount of time there. They're stuck together because I'm crying. She goes, he's such a sweetheart. I always cry after I jerk off. That's why they're stuck together. You're jerking off?
Oh, boy.
So then Gino goes on to talk about how he delivers this joke when he's doing his comedy show.
It's in that joke, and I say where it's, I'm like, why is it you can write a book about the Holocaust, which everyone should read some. I'm like, if you want to read a book about the Holocaust, they're in the nonfiction section, right?
And then I mean, that's if you think it exists.
Exactly.
Really,
and then I'm
happened,
like, but then I say, I'm like, for those, because not a lot of people get it. Of course you do. You're a comic and you're intelligent. But I'm like, if you didn't get that, some people say the Holocaust never existed. And then I dumb it down and say, of course the Holocaust existed. Otherwise, what am I jerking off to?
See, that's a good joke. Gino's a funny guy. That's a good joke.
That is good.
My only problem is I wouldn't tell that joke and then explain how I'm a tortured artist.
You were going to dilute yourself, dumb yourself down.
And I should set this up a little bit because Gino's talking about how He's not going to change his act just because people are offended. He's been told he should come up with a clean act so he can get on The Tonight Show. He's just not going to do that.
Culture.
You're going to dilute yourself, dumb yourself down. How good is that going to make you feel, number one, day in, day out? Are you going to just be like, oh, I feel like I'm further away from my purpose. I'm further away from my art,
exactly.
My voice.
Because if you...
Yeah. Okay. So the reason why he has to tell the I jerk off to Holocaust books joke is because that's his truth. And he just can't get away from that. Chrissy takes a funny premise and makes it off-putting. You're like, oh no, you guys think you're changing the world with a jerk off joke? Because you're not.
Wow.
I like it. It's a good joke. Yeah. I laughed. You're not changing the world. Last thing I want to play on this trajectory, and this is talking about the fact that people go in and see comedy and don't like it and are turned off, but they would never do that with any other type of art.
It's like, we don't do that with any other art form. We don't go to like Lincoln Center. You know, we don't go to somebody's watching live music. Oh, you guys shouldn't be here. This music sucks.
Yeah.
Like, what are we
doing
here? Yeah,
you're right.
We don't go to a museum and like, you know, someone's like drawing a painting, or you know what people do when they go to art museum. Like, you don't slap it out of the way. Be like, you shouldn't be enjoying this painting. You shouldn't be enjoying this music.
Is she retarded?
Oh my God.
I do that all the time. I purposely go see bands I don't like and tell everyone in the audience they're an idiot. By one. Walk around, whisper in their ears, what are you doing here? You fucking moron. But it's funny, though. It's as if she doesn't understand that there are art critics and there's been controversial pieces of art that people have protested against. Are you fucking that dumb that you don't know that Piss Christ exists? You've never heard of that? All right, that's all I got on Chrissy Mayer.
Yeah, likewise. I have never been so fucking bored by that.
I know.
That show was just nothing and lots of it.
She decided that I have a show on Compound Media, but it's behind a paywall. And most people are not going to know me from that. So I want to do a separate podcast, and I commend her on that. I would do the same thing if I were her. I'm going to do a podcast. It's readily available and free, and so people can discover me and learn about me, and I can grow my audience. The thing she didn't think of was, what's the format going to be? How am I going to make this entertaining? Why do I need to exist as a podcaster? None of those things were considered.
Yeah.
She just decided to set up her iPhone 10, make sure that everyone's in frame for her fucking first 48 seconds of the show, and then talk about nothing, or worse, prattle on about how you're tortured artists and so important. I don't like this thing where it's like, we're the truth tellers, man. It's like, you just told a dick joke. I just heard you tell a dick joke. You can't also be the truth tellers that the world needs now.
Yeah.
Can't be both. All right. Let's move on. Because a lot has happened in this last week. I got to tell you, doing a weekly show is becoming difficult because there's so much going on with our good friend Stuttering John. I want to start off by talking about our friends at Revenge of the Sis, who joined us on the show last week.
They were great.
They did a fantastic job. I really enjoyed having those guys on. They went on a show recently and talked about the fact that they got an email from YouTube because of a complaint from Stuttering John about a copyright infringement.
Really now?
And Krosh, you and I have had some experience playing in bands and trying to upload music and things onto YouTube. I've literally put YouTube videos up that only feature music that I both wrote and performed that have been flagged and taken down. Yeah. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
Flagged and taken down. That's how easy it is to take down anything on YouTube. A single complaint and they go, all right, no, okay, you can't prove it's you. It's like, well, no, I can prove it's me.
Yeah.
You know, but no, not good enough. Not going to take it down. So Stuttering John has his stand-up video that these guys are goofing on
channel.
Yeah. And he complains to YouTube. YouTube sends the Revenge of the Sis guys a note saying, we got this complaint. You are not violating any copyright laws. We're not taking any action.
No shit.
And they even say, like, 99.9% of the time, they just take it down and figure it out later.
Nope.
Even YouTube was like, this doesn't... And they got... And I encourage people to check out this episode. But they got the full thread going back and forth between Stuttering John and YouTube, John explaining, this is the best part.
Oh, no shit.
It's great. They read the whole thing.
Oh,
and John
great.
Explains the reason why he needs this taken down off the internet is because he's in negotiations with Netflix for his own Netflix special. This could fuck up his chance to get a Netflix special. I know. It's so funny. It's so funny. So this is just one clip from that show that I wanted to play. The Revenge of the Sith guys. After they receive this email and they talk about it, and they're doing their own victory lap and celebrating, and they say this.
We're not taking it down.
Sorry, John.
It's not happening.
Not only are we not taking it down, but now we're just going to keep torturing you.
And again?
Now it's going to never end.
Is this what you want?
Yeah.
Is this what you want?
This is it, man. This is the world that we live in. John could not have handled this criticism worse.
Yeah,
in every single way.
Absolutely right.
He's decided he's going to try to sic his attorneys on people. He doesn't have an attorney.
Yeah.
His attorney was his co-host. That's not happening anymore. Vince went on a show recently and explained that he liked what the Revenge of the Sith guys were doing. Have you heard this yet?
No.
Oh,
no.
This is brilliant. Vince comes on and he says, you know what, John? I got to be honest with you. I watched one of their videos.
You got the job. And I do want to make a slight confession. Now, I only want to make this confession if you're going to give me some form of immunity. The end, it's not so bad, but I don't want you to come back and yell at me after the show.
Well, how the hell could I promise something like that?
Well, you got to take some risk.
All right. Go ahead. Tell me all what right. it is.
I listened to Revenge of the Nerds, and they did a bit that I couldn't stop listening to. It was the British Stuttering John. And it was really funny because you must have mentioned that you're going to the pub. So then they transformed you going to the pub and you have this English persona, except your voice and your accent doesn't change. You still have that strong Long Island accent. And I do have to admit that it was funny. And I know you'd get mad at me if I brought it up.
I don't really care.
Okay.
But anyway, so I don't care. I mean, if you think it was funny or not. I mean, you know, at least somebody's listening to him. So now let's go to the. What, see, now you threw me off. I was talking about Shuley.
Of course, he was talking about Shuley. So Vince is the world's greatest troll.
Yeah,
I love Vince. He goes on Stuttering John's show and says, "These guys who are goofing on you on YouTube, fucking hilarious."
Yeah,
love them. So the next show, maybe a show or two after that, John's doing a live feed and responding to people in the chat room and gets this question.
Then people are asking me, you know, what happened to Vince? I have no problem with Vince. He's a damn good attorney. But the truth is, you know.
All right. He kicked Vince off the show.
Yeah.
And I love the explanation for this because you heard him right there say, the truth is, you know, which means the truth will not be coming anytime soon.
Yeah.
Right after that, he goes on to say that he'll be quite honest with us.
There has to be some chemistry, and that's it. I mean, see, look, I'll be quite honest. It's not Vince's fault.
So anytime somebody has to explain that this is the truth, that I'm going to be honest, you know they're lying.
Yeah.
We know you're lying, John. You finally realize that Vince only started coming on your show to troll you in real time to your face. And you went, fuck, I've been had. I wouldn't be surprised if those videos come down off of YouTube. Because Vince makes him look like a fool on his own show. And it's so brilliant. People are talking about the fact that Vince overplayed his hand. He should have milked this for many more months to come. And I'm thinking, no, this was perfect. Get in and get out. You've gone on there. You've told John he sucks at everything he's doing, that these other guys who are making fun of him are funnier than him. And then you got fired for that. That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's kind of how you want this to go down.
In and out.
I want to play a few more clips of John. And this is all part of the same little bit where he's explaining why Vince is no longer on the show. And he explains that his old co-host, Royce. Now, that guy was a good sidekick.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt very comfortable with Royce, just like Anthony in the beginning felt very comfortable with Opie. And you know, just like Howard feels very comfortable with Robin. But
okay. So now he's equating him and Royce to Opie and Anthony.
Yeah.
Howard Stern and Robin Quivers.
Yeah, there you go.
I think there might be a little bit of a disconnect as to the level that this guy's on compared to other shows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who Stuttering John and Royce are, except for you and I, a couple people in the Discord.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I'm stealing your thunder here. I got to keep playing this stuff.
Of course. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
This is so funny. I just see you crossing shit off like, oh, I think Croge had this. So he goes on to explain that it has nothing to do with Vince disagreeing with John and offers him some other job that he can do.
You know, Royce and I would argue. He would argue with me all the time. Monique argues with me on tons of things. I have no problem with people disagreeing with me. It's just a matter of chemistry. And if the chemistry's not there, I don't know. Like, I just, you know, I can't seem to feel comfortable, you know, with the chemistry. So, I decided, like, to move on from Vince as far as being on the show. He could always work behind the scenes, and he could always, you know, and he's a damn great attorney.
What does that mean, he could work behind the scenes of the Stuttering John show? What kind of behind-the-scenes work is there to do?
Oh, yeah.
You're not booking guests. The only person he talks to are other ex-Howard Sterners who have no one to talk to and can't wait to tell their stories from 25 years ago.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So he starts off the show and there's no Vince there.
Right.
And he doesn't address it for an hour.
Yeah.
And then an hour into it, he gets a fan question and he gives a 2-minute answer.
Yes.
Where he says nothing at all.
Oh, well, let me play you another part of that where once again, he talks about that he's explaining the truth.
So that's it. That's the truth. You guys could spin it. I see people trying to spin it any way they want. But that's it. You know, like, you know.
So he's already realized that no one's buying this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is happening in real time. I see people already trying to spin this.
Yeah.
You just announced it.
Yeah.
You think people are spinning it? You're projecting. You know that you're lying and no one's buying it. You've said, I'm going to be honest. This is the truth.
Yeah.
The truth is, like, we know you're lying. But he always has to do that one thing at the end. I don't know if you picked up on this or not. But he always likes to throw in that threat to us, specifically. And I'm not being egotistical here. This is referring to us when he says that he's still engaged with Vince on this thing they're working on.
You know, and he's, like I said, he's a great attorney. And I would always do business with him. And there's something that we're working on that I hope he continues to do. And that's it.
There's something that we're working on that he hopes he continues to do. You know, that real strong case that John has against me.
Yeah.
Was he going to take all my Patreon money so he could pay his gas bill?
Yeah.
The fuck with this guy.
Ugh.
You know, John, I wouldn't have goofed on your wedding video if you hadn't have put it on the internet. Do you see how this works?
Yeah.
I didn't go into your house and look for a VHS tape of your pathetic wedding.
Yeah.
You put it on the internet.
Yeah.
Crows, do you have clips from that specific episode that you want to talk about?
I do.
Awesome.
Let's go, man.
This is not supposed to be the biggest segment of our show, and John's just forcing us to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's start right at the top.
All right,
man.
Let's do it.
He starts talking to Grillo, mm-hmm. who you and I have, we discussed his fucking shitty-ass podcast.
Aftershock XL.
So these guys are talking about some 30-year-old bullshit.
Yeah.
This is in the first 2 minutes of the show, and already John's distracted. Here's number one.
I have a group of friends that all live in the neighborhood. We all have a chat, you know, a group thread going on.
Sounds great, by the way.
Yeah, oh my God.
Technically, so what are you laughing at, motherfucker?
I'm laughing at, like this one guy said, oh, you went to the supermarket to get alcohol, you liar. You know, like, people like, it doesn't matter what the fuck I say. You know, they fucking, like, they'll always manage to twist something around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well.
And yeah, all right.
So distracted by the trolls.
Yeah.
He doesn't care, though. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. That's all. He's just staring at it. Staring at the fucking chat room as his guest is trying to tell a story. He's laughing about something totally different.
Yeah.
So then he talks about, and I don't know why he talks about it, but then he talks about his dating life. Here's number two.
Because the girl I've been dating now, I met on Hinge. So
is that it?
Not yet. Not yet. But
So he's still not getting laid. This guy talks about dating more than any other podcast we've listened to. And he does not consummate any of these relationships. He came close. This is just in order chronologically that it happened, but it's all out of order because it's the show's such a mess. But number three, now he's talking about a previous dating experience he had where he almost got laid.
This has happened to me before. At the end of the date, I'm like, so we're hanging out. I go, so what do you want to do? You know, she goes, well, here's the deal. Do you want to have sex with me? I go, sure. She goes, all right, then you got to pay my rent. You pay my rent and, you know, each month, and then I have sex with you. I'm like, okay. All right. That sounds reasonable. I'll get back to you.
I'll get back to you.
So
he doesn't have any money. Lady.
Multiple times in his life, he's met up with people who are apparently high-class prostitutes, and yep. He has no fucking idea.
Right.
So then he flashes forward to the present again. He starts talking about the new love of his life that he's still not sleeping with. Let's find out what a first and second date with Stuttering John is like. Here's number four.
But, like, you know, when she was hanging out at the speakeasy and I was drinking, like, 9-10 beers, I was worried she's going to go, oh, this guy's a fucking alkie, which I am.
Dude, imagine having 10 beers on your first date. On your first date. That's good behavior. First date is when you're like, you put on your best shirt. You're like trying to like act attractive and shit.
Well, also, he drank 10 beers in front of her.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing. I could see John being like, I did a couple shots before I left for the pub to meet up with her. No, this guy shows up and chugs beer in front of her.
Unbelievable. And she doesn't drink, by the way, he mentioned, which is even funnier.
Fucking like, idiot.
Holy
That's
shit.
That's what sober people want to do, is hang out with someone who's just pounding beers. Yeah. A lot of fun.
So then him and Grillo are talking about some old bullshit again. And then John starts talking about podcasts for some reason. I thought maybe you'd find this interesting, Carl. This is number five.
You know, be like the internet bullies. Like, it's one of these things, like, it's a phenomenon. Because if they were to say the shit that they say on the internet to your face on the streets of Manhattan.
Yeah.
You know. They go home with a broken jaw. You know what I mean? But they, But they're all internet bullies. Like even people who have podcasts and, you know, they like all tough guys. But if I saw them in the street, they wouldn't be so tough.
They're jokes, John. Can I tell you exactly what I would say to Stuttering John if I saw him on the street in Manhattan?
Your podcast stinks. Your podcast stinks.
That's all I would say.
But Carl, someone said something mean about Stuttering John on the internet. And it hurt Johnny's little feelings.
Oh, these guys all think that they're tough. You're the one who's literally looking for boxing matches against us. No one is trying to be a tough guy. No one's saying I could kick this guy's ass. We're just saying you're not funny and your show sucks.
He was until the Revenge of the Cis Guys accepted the offer. Now that's off the table. Nobody's on that anymore.
I know.
Now he says shit like this, number six.
And I would do it to any of these people if they said the shit to me in person, or if they fucking, you know, these fucking, you know, podcast dickheads. If they said it to me in person, like, you know, I'll beat the fuck out of them. I'm, you know.
My favorite quote from you is, I'll bite the nose off of your face.
I will. So don't do anything to win. And you know what's so funny?
It's a fight. That's what you gotta fucking do.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'll fucking rip. I'll tear that ball sack off, you know, with my fucking toenails.
I don't care about these guys. Yeah. This guy sounds exactly like Seamus. He is so stupid. You can't go back and forth between, I'm going to murder these people and bite their noses off, to, I don't care and I can take a joke.
It's so
fucking It's one
stupid.
Or the other, you fucking moron. We're not looking to fight you, John. This is not... I think the Revenge of the Cis guy said it best. The only way this guy thinks is like 90s shock jock world. Where it's like, oh, you said something bad about me? Why don't we take it to the ring?
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm not a world wrestling superstar. I'm not looking to get into the ring with you, you fucking moron. You do a show, I do a show. Why don't you point out what sucks about our show? Like we point out what sucks about your show. That would be the way to address this.
Yeah. Well, it's getting harder to do, Carl. And Chrissy Meyer, if you're still listening, I want you to take some notes.
Yeah. I like that you don't even pronounce your name right. When you sent me over the clips, you spelled her name wrong.
Did I?
Yeah, M-Y-E-R. Like, you can't even bother to learn what this person's name is.
I thought that's how it was spelled.
It's four letters. You can't even be bothered with it.
I'm sorry.
Chris, you're going to be big though soon. It's no problem.
Yeah. Anyway.
By the way, Chrissy not coming on our show was the best thing that ever happened to her. We wouldn't have talked about her this much. If she just come on the show, we did a regular episode on Luis J. Gomez, the show sucks. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
We never would have talked about her. Her standing us up has actually gotten her way more airtime on a show that's actually popular that people listen to. All right, well, you were talking about something. Go ahead, Crush.
Well, I was talking about professionalism, Carl.
Yeah.
And professionalism is what the Stuttering John show brings to the table. My number seven is called 90 Seconds of Podcast Gold.
Who cares? But it's just like, you know, this is the kind of shit that people say. And people are asking me, like Monique from, you know, a Radio Gunk. There was a stutter there, Steve. Is like,
you
know.
Hold on a second. I lost you here.
Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, I hear you. Hold on. I can still see you. Go ahead and log on again. All right. We just lost Gunga Dean. Gunga Dean. Gunga Dean.
Hello?
Gunga Dean, bring water.
Hello?
Hold on. Text Steve Gorilla. Hold
John,
on.
John, you there?
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
All right, hold on. Hold on.
I can't hear you. Hold
it's
on.
Okay. I never said this would be pro.
No.
Hello?
Well, hold on.
This sucks. What the fuck just happened?
Log out and log in again. Yeah. I'll remove you. All right. Anyway, but that's what Crazy Cabby's saying, which is so fucking dopey.
Your podcast stinks. Your podcast stinks.
I'm sorry. I know that was long.
No, it's all
was,
good.
And even what they're talking about.
Yeah, every time it gets back to the conversation, like, and then Shuley said, you know, Crazy Cabby, you're like, these are not people anyone cares about.
Oh my
Crazy
God.
Cabby?
People didn't care about him 20 years ago.
I did not. John, you can't possibly, I know he's listening to these shows now, you can't possibly listen to that and not realize that your show sucks, right? I mean, how bad is the Dunning-Kruger effect with this guy that he still thinks that he's at the top of his game?
Yeah, well.
Step it up, asshole.
But he's, I mean, you make fun of him, Carl.
I
but
do.
He's a brilliant pitch man. And number eight, he transitions into an ad.
I'm just going to deliver an ad here. I know you like to gamble, don't you, Steve?
No, I'm not a gambler, bro.
Okay.
I'd rather spend my money on hookers and blow.
All right. Steve, well, thanks for helping out with the ad, but it's okay. Because I love to gamble.
And what are people gambling on nowadays? Or
yeah,
number nine?
Are they gambling on?
You could still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the weather, Steve. You can bet on the fucking weather.
No, you can't. No, you cannot. You bet on stock prices. Come on. That can't be real. Holy shit. Is he writing his own ad copy now? He's just making shit up?
I guess.
And I gotta say that Grillo, who I've obviously pointed out, is a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
When somebody says, you like gambling, right? They're setting something up.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of improv, as you know, but learn how to yes and a little bit.
Yeah. And even right after he says, I'm transitioning into an ad.
If Crow should come on here and said, man, Chrissy Mayer asks a lot of dumb questions. And if I said, no, I think she's a really good interviewer. Or like if I had Jen from the Jingles Department on, she goes, I don't think any of this is real. I think it's all fake. It's like, that kind of fucking ruins the momentum we're going for here. We're all on the same page, please. I have an example of an ad read. So I listened to an episode where we had Ralph Sutton on the show.
Yeah.
And John does an ad read for that same company. And then as he gets out of it, needs a compliment for some reason.
Be sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your full access wagering solution. How do you like that there, Ralph? Is that a pro or what?
And he just did the worst ad read ever, and he still needs reassurance from his guest that he's good at podcasting.
What the fuck?
And guess what? Ralph's a really nice guy. He goes, oh, yeah, you're doing your announcer voice, weren't you? That's he almost talked to him like he's a child. Oh, yeah, you were doing your big shot radio voice, huh?
Yeah.
Nice job there, buddy. You really nailed it on that ad read.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you knew this, Carl, but he spent 10 years writing for Jay Leno. Here's number 10.
The other thing that I remember is you came up to my office and I showed you my writing reel.
Yeah, I was impressed, dude. It doesn't shock me with you. I got to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. You know, no, but it's so funny. You know, I get all these hate from all these Twitiots, you know. They don't realize, I mean, you know, to write for Jay, I mean, it's not like, I mean, you know, you got to know what you're doing. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. You know.
Croge, I have news for you, buddy, because I didn't know that he wrote on The Tonight Show. No one ever told me that.
Yeah.
And I bet you didn't know that he once wrote a song with Joe Walsh.
Every band you ever wanted to speak to, I got to sit down and talk to. Which
oh, yeah, good. Ralph, I don't know if you know, but I wrote a song with Joe Walsh.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. That's really cool. I didn't know
yeah,
that.
It's called I Don't Like You Either. It's on iTunes.
Oh, that's great. That's really cool. I mean, who? Those memories are the ones you're going to care about the most, not what the fucking idiots in the chat room are talking about.
I know.
Is this guy trying to talk him off the ledge?
I know! Ralph Sutton, I'm going to get into it in a minute, but Ralph Sutton as the guest on the show is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because John keeps trying to get Ralph to be on his side. Like, yeah, people hate you too, right? And Ralph like goes into the live chat on YouTube and he goes, well, there's a lot of racists in your chat room today. Everyone's just dropping N-bombs the entire time. They're all just ROTC fans.
Ugh.
Just fucking with his live feed.
Lovely.
All right, what else you got, buddy?
Let's talk about brain damaged men's and booze. Here's number 11.
Like even like they did x-rays of my brain and it, you know, I mean, you could see like all the shit going on in the frontal lobe. Okay. So the one thing I do take, you know, a medication for OCD, but I gotta be honest, Steve, 4 or 5 beers, it takes the edge off.
Yeah, man.
It does.
I don't.
Oof. All right, I have to play some examples now because one of the things that John should not do on his show is explain all of his drug and alcohol problems.
Yeah,
it's not helping his cause in any single way. So this is John talking about how much he loves doing coke, even when it works against him.
Oh, yeah, I've had that, but you obviously don't do coke because...
I don't do any drugs.
Oh, okay, because I was doing coke with some chicks, really hot blonde, and... I was like, it was like playing pool with a rope. You know what I mean? It was like, fucking, there was no way.
What a story, Mark.
That's not a story you want to tell on your podcast.
Another story about him not getting laid.
He don't get laid.
Oh, even though
he supplied the chick with coke, she's like, all right, I'll fuck you. And he's like, I can't fuck.
Yeah.
But going back to your point about the number of beers he has to drink, this is how you know somebody has a problem.
I mean, I love it. I mean, I love to have some like 4 or 5 beers and then smoke some weed and I'm in heaven, man. I'm just chilling.
Yeah, that's called a problem.
Yeah.
And it gets worse. He was asked on a podcast recently when was the last time he tried coke, and he said it was 2 years ago. And the ROTC guys thought that was probably bullshit. I think I agree with them because he does talk about coke a lot.
Well, I you know, I love cocaine.
And when somebody says that on their podcast, you know I'm going to do something with that, right, Crush?
Of course.
I love cocaine. I love cocaine. And mama, can you wait? Mama, can you wait? I love cocaine. I love cocaine. And
marvelous.
Since we're into this, Croge, I'm going to take over on a couple clips here.
Please
real
do.
Quick. So, this guy Ralph Sutton calls in, and Ralph Sutton is the co-host of the SDR show on Gas Digital Network, and actually Ralph is one of the owners of Gas Digital along with Louis J. Gomez.
Okay.
And Ralph calls into the show. He explains that he used to have a radio show that was syndicated for many years before he started doing this podcast thing. Before that, he was a DJ at Scores and other strip clubs.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
This guy's an interesting dude.
Yeah.
And when he was a DJ at strip clubs, he heard on Howard Stern, they were talking about how to pick up strippers. And the woman who was explaining had all the wrong information.
Yeah.
So he decided to call into the Stern show and they put him on the air. And that's how he got his start in radio. He realized that he could communicate information like this. People were interested in it. He got a lot of great feedback. So he started the show. I'm going to play you the clip of him explaining to Stuttering John this story and everything I just explained to you.
Uh-huh.
See if you can pick up on what I picked up on. There's a little Easter egg in here.
At the time, like I had started at Scores, and by the time you guys were going, I had moved on already. But you okay. guys were talking about how to pick up strippers and were giving advice on how to pick up strippers. I called in, and you answered the phone, and I said, I used to work at Scores, and you had a girl on that had written about how to pick up girls at a strip club. Okay. But everything she was saying was wrong. So I called and said, look, I used to work at Scores as a DJ. This girl's lying, and you guys put me on the air. And we talked for about 3 or 4 minutes about how to pick up a stripper at the time.
Did you notice anything about that conversation that stood out to you?
Just that John was answering the phone.
Yes!
Yeah.
So he says, you know, you guys on the Stern Show were all talking about picking up strippers. So I called in, and, you know, you were the call screener. Stern Joe was out on the show shooting the shit with Howard and Robin and Jackie and Fred about picking up strippers. He was the intern in the back room answering the phone. Do you know how menial of a job it is to be a call screener for a radio show?
Yeah.
It's literally like, all right, who's going to make my baked potato today? Who's going to answer the phones?
Yeah.
Well, I made the baked potato yesterday, so I'll answer the phones. That's what Stuttering John was on the Howard Stern Show. ROTC couldn't have said it better when they said this was a revenge fuck when Jay Leno hired him away from Howard Stern. There was nothing about his talent level. And in fact, that was the worst thing that ever happened to John because he's still delusional to this day.
Oh, yeah.
The call screener from Howard Stern can't believe people don't think he's talented. They can't believe it.
Yeah.
And even though he's having a compelling conversation with Grillo, where he's getting distracted by his chat room, he can't believe people don't think he's talented.
Yeah.
What does the world come to? I'm having a lot of fun with this. Did you know that people are hating on Stuttering John?
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get all these freaking Twittiots, I call them, all these, you know, like...
By the way, I made a mistake of clicking over to your live comment section, and my goodness, is there a lot of racial hatred in there. Jesus.
Yeah, Ralph, I was going to ask you, do you get a lot of these people? They just love to hate. It's amazing. It's like...
You're a higher profile guy than me, so you're probably going to get it more than I am, but...
So Ralph is just the sweetest guy. He's trying to explain, like, people don't hate me that much, but, you know, you have a name, you know, I'm just the owner of Gas Digital and have a show. Well, you know, whatever. So then John goes on to explain that these losers are trolling him, which apparently, based on what you've been playing me, is a topic on every single episode he puts out.
So he talks
like, I don't even, like, I try not to even engage. And it's just like with you. I got these losers who troll me and say shit, but nobody knows who the fuck they are.
It's just like with you. Now he's trying to pretend that Ralph has also got losers trolling him. And, you know, it's just like with you. You know what I mean? Like these losers that no one even knows who they are. Even though we have way more listeners than your show will ever have. Even though you got picked up by every newscast because you talked to President Trump and had a boring conversation with him. So this is him calling me a loser specifically, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm. And it's like all these fucking haters I get. They haven't done jack shit in their lives, but yet they think that they've, you know what I mean? It's just crazy.
I guarantee you this, that yet they're here every single time you do the show live.
Oh, yeah. I get other, Ralph, I get other podcasts that spend literally hours trashing me.
Yep. Right,
and,
right.
You know, but at the same time, they're calling me a loser. So let me ask you, Ralph, if I'm such a loser, why are they spending an hour a day trashing me?
Yeah, it really is funny.
So I was never the call screener for Howard Stern. Yeah. So that's true. I haven't done shit with my life.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't a call screener. But, John, we don't call you a loser. That's your word.
Yeah.
You call us losers. We call you idiot, moron, has-been, dolt, dud, alcoholic, train wreck.
Unprofessional, unfunny, unlikable. Yeah, there's a lot of words.
There's a lot of words we use. Yeah. Loser is never one of them.
Yeah,
it is fitting. So he goes on to say that these fucking losers are trolling me because they don't have anything better to do. And why would they do that? And then he goes, oh, yeah, I do the same thing.
How sad is their lives? Like, you know, because I'll troll Donald Trump just because I'm not a fan. But you know, and Donald Trump Jr. But, I mean, for the most part, I would never sit there and troll.
You fucking idiot. Contradicting yourself in the same sentence.
Yeah.
That's the epitome of a moron. Listen, Ralph, just so you know, like, I'll go on and I'll troll, you know, Donald Trump, his entire family, a bunch of other people. Yeah. But what are these assholes doing? They're trolling me.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
Oh.
All right, let's get back to your clips. You got some more fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Well, he calls everyone losers, but he lives pretty high in the hog. Here's number 16.
Okay.
Love from beautiful Kamano Island, Washington. Have a great weekend. Oh, yeah, Marvin. Love, how about a fucking super chat? Come on. Oh. I got child support to pay.
He's literally begging for people to send digital tips in with their questions in the YouTube chat. He's like an e-thought or an e-girl.
Yes, right. Yeah, he's a thought. Yeah.
Except they get paid.
Right.
They actually have houses and shit that they have. This guy is just fucking begging for...
By the way, John went on Twitter and admitted that he hadn't paid his gas bill for 8 months. He tweeted that he hadn't paid his gas bill for 8 months. Remember when he was first on with Vince and he goes, oh, I forgot to pay my gas bill. No, you didn't forget, asshole. You couldn't afford it for 8 months.
Well... He's got big things in the work, though, Carl. Number 14.
I've been hearing this. I'm hoping it's coming true.
Let's see. Ma'am Bergera is obviously just another troll, but he's asking me when my Netflix, we are in negotiations now to do a Netflix special, either that or Amazon Plus, you know, so you could talk to my manager about this.
Oh, I would love to talk to his manager about this.
Hey, I would love to talk to his manager. B, Amazon Plus? The fuck plan are you on, you asshole?
That's not a thing.
It's not what it's called.
There's Apple TV Plus, there's Disney Plus, and then there's Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah.
You're in the industry, you should know that.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. And he says, you should talk to my manager. Vinny Paulino literally talked to the guy who was representing him for booking gigs, and the guy was a fucking moron.
Yeah.
Who's your manager, John? Please, who is your manager?
But he was so close to having Mark Hamill on his show. Here's number 13.
I've tried to get him on the podcast. He always says that he doesn't do them, but if he does, you know, I'm at the top of the list. He's a good dude, man.
The guy blew you off, and you're spouting that like it's a victory?
Could you imagine?
He blew you off!
Could you imagine? You know, Carl, that girl I've been talking about?
Yeah.
I asked her out.
Oh, yeah?
Now, she told me she's busy doing her hair that whole weekend. But if she wasn't, she would totally say yes. Isn't that fucking awesome?
That's amazing.
I almost got a date with her. It's so great.
Yeah, there's this straight girl that I've been talking to. It's a knockout. And I want to know if she wanted to start dating. She says she doesn't date guys.
Yeah, but if she did.
But if she ever did.
If she did.
She didn't even say it would be me. She just said, I'd be on the top of the list. Yeah. He even said, I'd be on the top of the list.
Oh.
You fucking idiot.
Oh, what a fucking moron. And this is back to him fighting with people in the chat. He's lived a very charmed life. Here's number 17.
I wrote with Jay for 10 years. Wrote with Howard for 15, and I've had a freaking charm life, as D. Snyder once said, and I'm very happy about that.
Bullshit. Don't bullshit me.
Dude, bullshit. You're the most miserable fucker. Of all the fuckers we listen to on the show, he is the most miserable. He's angry with life. He's drinking his fucking life away. He's threatening to fucking cut off people's nuts with his toenails and shit. This is not a happy guy. This is an angry, miserable fuck. And then he's like, but I had a great life and I'm real happy with myself. No, you're not, dude. You're not even fucking close.
Crush, I have a couple more clips. You have a few more clips. Let's save them for our bonus episode.
You got it.
Because I want to talk a little more Stuttering John. I feel like we're exhausted at this point.
Oh, God.
It's been a lot. We're going to do a bonus episode later today. We're going to put it out. It's mainly about Vic Henley, but there's probably going to be a little bit of Stuttering John talk as well. If you're cool with...
Absolutely.
Just, you know, we'll just put... What's the term I'm looking for?
Put a pin in it.
Put a pin in it. Put a bookmark in.
There you go.
We'll come right back to it. I do want to get to this segment.
Cringe of the week. Cringe of the week.
This week's Cringe of the Week was submitted by... yours truly.
Mm.
This week, I've gone back and I started listening to Adam Carolla again. And I haven't listened to Adam Carolla in a couple of years.
Oof.
But it's because he's been having Dr. Drew on, and Dr. Drew seems like the only sane person in the world anymore.
Yeah.
And I need to listen to sane people talk just every now and then.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I want to fucking blow my brains out right now. Anyway... Regardless of all of that, Gina Grad is the news girl on his show.
Still.
Yep. Wow. And Gina Grad makes a joke, and Adam Carolla stops in his tracks to acknowledge how bad it was. And I just, it made me smile. They're talking about coronavirus, and this is what happens.
So I'll catch the next trolley that comes along, right. The next virus, the next pandemic,
Medela
or the next
virus.
Whatever's next. That's right.
And so
it's a Mexican beer joke here, buddy. Come
thank
on.
You, thank you.
Gina Grant says, Modelo virus. No, I just want to say, Crunch, I want to point out, this was from March 18th, 2020. Does she think she's the first one to come up with this joke?
3 months into it.
Does she think she... Why would you say that, Gina Grad? What were you thinking? You fucking moron. And she's on the radio. She's like a professional broadcaster. Yeah. Oh.
We haven't had any lulls.
All right. Croj, that brings us to everyone's favorite segment of the show.
The teaser.
That's right. We're going to be back here again next week, God willing. And we'll be recording another episode of WATP. And this is the part of the show where we like to play a clip from the podcast that we'll be reviewing. And I'm very excited about this because it's not often that the host of a show reaches out and says, will you please review my show? And when they do, I'll take a look.
Yeah.
Because I like that. It means you have a good sense of humor about yourself. You're ready to enjoy the roast. John does not enjoy the roast.
Yeah.
No, I like people who enjoy the roast aspect of our show. Here's the show that we'll be reviewing next week.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the hoes. It's weed, our beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, you need to know. The SDR show. Let's go.
Hey! Christine, sit over there. Maybe that makes more sense. It is the SDR show. I am Ralph Sutton. Across from me, Mr. Big J. Oakerson.
That's right.
Hey-o.
Ralph Sutton, the man that we just heard being interviewed by Stuttering John, wow, reached out to me before he was even on the Stuttering John show.
Yeah.
And said, we would love for you to review our show. I'm on with Big J. Oakerson. We do the SDR show. And I said, you got it, buddy. We love Ralph. I love Big J. Oakerson. You and I saw him in Buffalo.
Yeah, he's great.
Great stand-up comedian.
What the fuck does SDR mean?
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Oh, okay.
Is the topic of the show. So we'll be back next week to review that. And it's just funny how these things happen, right?
Yeah.
I messaged Ralph. I said, you did Stuttering John show? Why? And he said, it was a phoner. I rarely say no. If my publicist says there's an opportunity, I'll just say yes. I said, fire your publicist.
Yeah.
You could yell out a car window and reach more people than going on Stuttering John's podcast.
Even during the quarantine. Yeah.
What a waste of fucking time.
Yeah.
That is. Holy shit. So I don't know anything about the show. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm excited to check that out. We're going to get Vic up here to read some reviews. We're going to listen to some voicemails. Croj, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Always appreciate all of the prep that you put into it. Is there anything that you'd like to promote or plug at this time?
Yeah, I'll be on the subreddit later, making fun of everyone in secret, and I forgot to write down something funny today.
All right. Please join us again next week. It might be the episode where we find out once and for all. Who are these podcasts? Sleep well, every pony.
Farting in the mosh pits of morning radio.
Okay. Great show. Good job, everybody.
Great job, everyone.
Well, that's retarded.
Great show.
This dude is fucking corny.
you know, who are these
podcasts?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Makes no sense.
Vic.
Are you awake? Hello. How
are you awake this week?
Somehow.
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. It's been a couple weeks.
It has been a couple weeks. I bet there's some fun new reviews for you to read to us.
Yes, I made it in the reviews. Two Ooh. Of them have my name, so I've made it big.
Nice.
Let me guess. You're going to read those reviews.
Absolutely.
All right, let's hear
I'm reading them first, too. So the first one is 5 stars. He said, Vic, I sent you my fish. Please respond.
Oh, Vic, are you getting back to people? I'm hearing a lot of complaints that you're not getting back to people.
Well, it's 50-50. If they're, like, fucking being stupid, like, I'm not going to respond to them. Half the time, it's like, what do you want from me? Like,
Of course they're being stupid. What do you want them to do? Like, try to make a real friend?
Not even, like, the fucking... Okay, the fish guy. Hilarious. Like, originally, you know, he sent the picture of, like, just the fish packaged. And then, like, after I, like, told you about it on the show, Carl, he sent me a picture of, like, a frozen fish with, like, a fucking knife in the neck. Hilarious.
Oh, jeez.
There you go.
So people actually listen to this segment? That's...
I think so.
That's more disturbing than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the next review is the best episode was about pedos. That should tell you everything you need to know about this podcast.
Okay.
That said, Carl and Kai are my heroes.
All right.
Taraji P. Henderson should guest host because I want to hear Carl kiss her BBA. Vic, call me. I need your honey hole. 5 stars.
That's good.
Yes.
Honey hole is never not funny now.
Yeah.
God. I'm interested in hearing you kiss her BBA as well.
Yep. Okay.
So
I don't know what that means, but I'm scared to Google it.
You know, I'm guessing big black asshole, excuse me.
Oh, there you go. That was the name of my high school.
I am so going to isolate that. Okay. Keep talking. Keep talking.
WAT is the poop on the shoe of humanity. After going through the archives and listening to the Hannah Gatsby podcast, I've concluded that WATP is the Hannah Gatsby of podcasts. Carl is absolute human garbage, and his rotating roster of co-hosts are utter disappointments whose spouses probably boo them in the bedroom. 5 stars.
That's pretty funny.
And you actually got a... good amount of 1 stars as well.
Okay.
The title is No, just No. I can't waste time on a complete review. That's how insipid it is. They need to go away.
Okay. I mean, at least they put something in there. Some people just click the 1 star and don't even type anything. So
yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. And then the other 1 star is a mouthful. A case study in how not to run a podcast. How fun is listening to a podcast where self-complained quote-unquote funny guys who completely lack any self-awareness and constantly try to speak in a pompous Bill Maher-esque smarter-than-thou tone, which that's not even fucking true. You sound like fucking shit, Carl. Jesus. Croge. Fucking A. Perfect episode for this.
Yeah, it is.
Rip into other more successful podcasts after listening to those other sources for only a split percentage of their total content, if even that much at all. It's about as fun as voluntarily kicking a wall with a toothpick under your toenail. Yada, yada, yada. I'd sooner recommend tuning in to the unequivocally more pleasant listening of a 10-hour long nails on a chalkboard track. 1 star.
So that's someone who obviously we made fun of the podcast. They like... And I get it, man. I was listening to my favorite band Sucks because I did a Mastodon episode and I got like 10 minutes in and I'm like, I can't listen to this anymore. These fucking idiots. And I'm like, I know what's happening right now. It's the thing that I make fun of. I didn't review their show. I didn't give 1 star. I just stopped listening. I just let it be. But Mastodon fucking rules. Those guys are idiots. Anyway, what else?
Well, it's kind of funny because in that review, they said something about like putting a toothpick under your toenail.
Yeah.
And then like a couple of months ago, you got a 5-star review that said, Carl makes me want to shove a toothpick in my big toe and kick a wall as hard as I could.
Oh.
So maybe he changed his mind and made a new account.
Yeah, that's interesting. Or maybe they're unoriginal in their fucking reviews. You're calling me unoriginal, motherfucker? I already heard that review.
You repeating piece of shit.
Vic, you want to listen to a couple voicemails with us real quick?
I'll listen to some voicemails.
I just wanted to say that good thing they canceled NHL. That way the Buffalo Sabres are spared the embarrassment of finishing that shitty season. Fuck you, Carl.
Listen, I'm just going to say this because I know that the fans want to hear my take on it. Eichel would have had a 40-plus goal season this year, and it's very disappointing he wasn't able to do that.
Wow, that's super interesting.
Good morning, king of all Stuttering John haters.
Morning.
Great podcast when you double-dipped on that flabby, sweaty, jowled fucker, Stuttering John, and then Dopey yesterday. I got on Dopey's little live sunset tour yesterday late. And just threw up the WATP.
Appreciate
at
that.
At the very end.
And thank you.
Thin-skinned as he is, immediately picked up on it. You know, John typically ignores my messages. Opie right away gets thin-skinned. And
can I just point out, I like this guy.
Yeah.
This guy's putting a lot of love out into the world.
Yeah.
He's helping society. Keep it up, buddy.
Haters and I was irrelevant, they wouldn't be doing this, you know, typical bullshit Opie as he has 300 listeners, 300 viewers in his stupid ass sunset fucking tour. Anyway, I know you're reviewing Chrissy Mayer or Major's new podcast next week.
Yeah, he doesn't have it either.
Probably go back and listen. I did last night. I should have put some more bullet points down, but Stutter and John had her on his podcast.
Oh, Chrissy right.
Major. November of 2019.
Right, right.
I think
it's
either November 9th or November 4th.
Who can forget?
And in the mix, Stuttering John with this woman, it is a WATP softball lobbed up that you could smash out of the park because he sucks and she is a fucking terrible guest. Her stories are awful and it makes for a vintage Stuttering John disaster. So I didn't know if that would be information you might like.
I haven't listened to that show, but I'm guessing it goes something like this. Oh, Chrissy, you ever see me on the Howard Stern show?
And I don't know what Danny is. Yeah, I was the Howard Stern show. I was doing a comedy show on Long Island.
Long Island. I saw Gary Del Bate there. I made fun of his teeth.
I like it.
I think I'm going to do like my own Stuttering John interviews Chrissy Mayer show.
So, Carl, I decide to, you know, let bygones be bygones, you know, forget about the fact that you cut the dick off the voicemail segment. I go and listen to your other show, you know, The Creep Off. I listened to episode one. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Hey, yeah, that's right. We do a show called The Creep Off. I'll be recording that tomorrow with Vinny.
Got some beagles on it. Whatever. Listen to the second episode. What the fuck is going on in the background, dude?
Jesus. It is funny.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Your audio is usually bad. But, like, episode one of the Creep Off, where you guys talking about, oh, we got a studio, we got all this shit. Then he was fucking hyping it up and shit.
It's the best part.
I just hear people fucking cheering and fucking speaking on some sort of fucking convention in the background. What's going on, dude? You're ruining my fucking... Quarantine man can't fucking take it.
And it's great because it starts off with like, oh yeah, Carl's never seen real microphones before. This is going to be a real show in a real studio. And then in the second episode, you're recording under the bleachers at a Yankees game.
You know how distracting that was too? I'm trying to read my notes and all I hear are people laughing and applauding.
Yeah.
And through a thin wall, there's a comedy club right next to us.
And then Charlie Sheen raped that child. You hear the background.
I wish it worked out that well.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, thecreepoff.com. Check it out. I think I'm losing this week, so vote for me. Oh, also, The Creep Off? Zero Vic on that show. That's how we're promoting it. That's our tagline.
Yeah, it's a Vic-free zone.
That's our tagline right now. 0% Vic.
That's pretty depressing how that's your tagline, Carl.
Yeah, well, it's all I got going for me right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Carl, dude. Sorry if this number's weird. I'm an international caller calling through Hangouts Dialer, Google shit.
Whatever.
But goddamn, I've got to give you props, man. Your entire podcast is genius. You've built it off of making a rotating cast of suckers doing work for you. When are you going to decide to say, fuck it, I'm taking a step back and make these suckers do it for you? All right, call me back later.
Well,
yeah, only when there's pedophilia involved.
I mean, I could do that, but the show wouldn't be very good anymore. Right? That's the main reason why I'm not doing that. By the way, I should point out, we are 2 weeks away from episode number 200.
Holy shit.
And episode number 200 will be a lot like episode number 100, but funny.
Oh, there you go.
We're going to be making fun of WATP. It's going to be a roast on our show. We have a lot of special guests coming on. An all-star cast. And I'm very excited about that. So, Vic, start writing your jokes.
Hey, okay, Carl, perfect. Last week you had those guys from Revenge of the Sith on. Or should I say they had you on? Because it was basically like you were their guest host. Fuck yourself. Yeah.
I didn't get to a lot of clips. It was funny because when Doug from Who's Right was on, we played 300 clips. Yeah. It was just clip, 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 clip. These guys, I would play one clip, and then they would talk for 20 minutes, and I'd come back after making a sandwich and go, okay, what are we talking about now? All right, cool. Oh, this is more about the show that's sweeping the nation, The Creep-Off.
Carl, I've been listening to Creep-Off. It's pretty fine. I'm entertained so far. The website, though, thecreepoff.com. Y'all keep saying, visit thecreepoff.com, and so it sounds like visit thecreepoff.com. creepoff.com, and not that the URL is thecreepoff.com. Do you get my confusion? It took me like 30 seconds to figure this out. You know, is he speak more clearly or something to redirect the URL to something that doesn't include the word V, maybe, or say thecreepoff.com, maybe?
Oh, that's so stupid.
I got a lot of other ideas on how you can make that easier to understand, but none of them are important or necessarily good. No. So keep it up and go fuck yourself.
This guy has definitely typed theyoutube.com and pressed enter. And then be like, why doesn't it work?
Where's the Google?
And then his grandkid has come over and be like, no, grandpa, it's just youtube.com. That happens over and over again to this guy.
Holy shit. I didn't think it was that hard. But his solution was, we should say thecreepoff.com. That won't be confusing at all.
Yeah, right.
No one will fuck that up.
That just rolls right off the tongue.
What a fucking moron. I mean, I love the listeners of both of those shows. All right. I get into this roasting mode and I forget who are my friends and my enemies.
Nah.
What are you going to do?
I get blocked from the Stuttering John podcast now when I'm doing the live chats. So my questions don't come through. I'm sure you've seen it. Vince has already been fired. Because according to John, quote unquote, they don't have a chemistry, which is slang or code for Vince was a troll and loved WATP and ROTC.
Yep.
And John is too fucking thin-skinned to handle that. Number two is
take your time.
Oh my god.
You only had two things.
John did a. Oh, holy shit. I don't know if you reported this or not. John did a cameo. It was, I think, from Seamus to Carl or Carl to Seamus.
We played it, yeah.
We talked about Gary and Deanna.
It was funny.
I think it's pretty recent. If you haven't seen it, check out John's shitbag cameo page. Dedicates a whole freaking video to...
Look, and I get it, because people aren't listening every minute of every episode. I get it.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't listen every minute of every episode except for No Agenda. So why would you have the balls, though, to call into a show when we would obviously know that? And then say, I don't know if he saw this or not. Whatever.
To Seamus, or from Seamus talking to Carl about podcasting and Gary Indiana, and he will come there and start humble-bragging about
it. He keeps going. What the fuck?
It keeps going.
Blah, blah. It's just a disaster. John's too fucking stupid to understand he's being made fun of constantly with Gary Indiana. The guy is a fucking drip.
He is a drip.
Keep it up, boys. Can't wait for Sunday.
All right, buddy. we do have more to talk about when it comes to Vince and Vince's firing from that show. We're going to talk about it on our bonus episode that Croge and I will be recording in a minute. I feel like we're just warmed up now.
Yeah.
We're just getting started here.
Oh, I'm like two naps away from just firing off.
Vic, thanks for coming back on the show again. People were very concerned about yours and my love life and whether or not we had broken up. So it's good to have you back. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no, it was definitely awkward. Like, I wanted to give us space because, you know, you had asked me to peg you, and I'm just not comfortable with that yet.
I like that you said yet. So you're saying there's a chance.
We'll get there.
All right. We're going to sign off with this.
Yeah, no one likes this part of the show. You guys should all just kill yourselves.
I'm smoking pot, I got my dick out, and I'm thinking about you, and I'm thinking about you. I'm smoking pot, I got my dick out, and I'm thinking about you, just you.
I'm smoking pot, I got my dick out, and I'm thinking about you, thinking about you.
I'm driving along,
driving along.
I'm singing a song,
singing a song.
And I got my dick out,
got my dick
and
out.
And I'm thinking about you,
thinking about you.
I drank a six pack,
drank a six pack.
I took my pants off,
took my pants
oh,
off.
Oh, I love you,
I love you,
I love you,
I love you.
I'm
smoking pot, I got my dick out, and I'm thinking about you, thinking about you.
I guzzled tequila,
guzzled tequila.
I peed on a lamppost,
peed on a lamppost.
Then I yearned for you,
yearned for you.
Oh, I ached for you,
ached for you.
I ate some lube,
ate some lube.
I kissed my dog,
kissed my dog.
Then I cried for you,
cried for you.
I wept for you,
wept for you.
I toked some skunk,
toked some skunk.
I groped your sister,
groped your sister.
But you're the one,
you're the one.
You're still the one,
still the one.
I ate some hash,
ate some hash.
I lit a fart,
lit a fart.
And then I sketched you,
then I sketched you.
Yes, I drew you,
yes, I drew you.
I'm
smoking pot, I got my dick out, and I'm thinking about you.
Oh yeah,
thinking about you.
Well, I tripped on acid,
tripped on acid.
I picked a scab,
picked a scab.
And then I faxed you,
then I faxed you.
I sent you a fax,
sent you a fax.
I made pot brownies,
made pot brownies.
Had diarrhea,
diarrhea.
Your name came up,
name came up.
Your name came up,
name came up.
I swigged some ripples,
swigged some ripples.
I watched some porn,
watched some porn.
Then I wrote to you,
wrote to you.
Show 'em what we wrote, Frank.
Big black asshole